Our scripture reading today is from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 24. I'll be reading the first 10 verses. It's page 22 if you're using the Pew Bible. I said last time that today would be the last message in the series on the life of Abraham, a life of growing faith. But I think there's going to be one more after this. We're only going to read part of this account where Isaac receives a wife. And I thought it'd be good to finish out the entire account. So for today, it will be Genesis 24, 1 through 10. And let us hear God's word. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Here ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our understanding this morning. Well, one significant characteristic of the human race is that it is generational. In fact, these days we like to give names to our generations. Traditionalists, boomers, Generation X, millennials. And what I want to talk about today is that the character and the actions of one generation of people is shaped by the character and actions of generations that have gone before it. All of us have been influenced by parents and grandparents and teachers and coaches. We've been influenced by the cultures of not just our own culture, but the cultures of past generations, music, films, books, famous people. Our thought patterns, our attitudes, how we do things, our traditions are shaped by these people and these things. I know from talking with some of you that you've got amusing stories about family traditions. No one in the family knows why you do this particular thing, but that's the way it's been done before. I remember the year my mother tried to change a holiday tradition. She decided after 20 years of having Thanksgiving at her house that we would go to a restaurant instead. Well, through lots of grumbling, we did it. We changed the tradition. But there was mutiny afterwards. And that was the last time that happened. We were back to her house the next year. Now, how we celebrate holidays, of course, is a small thing. There are much larger and more significant things that are passed down from generation to generation. And the most important thing has to do with passing on the things of God. We see this reflected here in this passage about Abraham seeking a wife for his son Isaac. And today I have 2 points. One is to be faithful in passing on the faith. And the second is to be faithful in passing on the faith of Jesus Christ. So first, be faithful in passing on the faith. When Abraham sought a wife for Isaac, he was acting by faith. Faith in the promise that God had made to him. In verse 7, we see that at this very crucial moment in the life of his son Isaac, Abraham had God's promise front and center in his mind. To your offspring I will give this land, he recounts to his servant. These are the words of God to Abraham. God had promised to make Abraham a great nation, to bless all peoples through him. He also promised him a land and to be his God and for Abraham and his descendants to be God's people. God had promised these things, and Abraham knew that one important way to encourage faith in these promises in his son and in his grandchildren, in his descendants, was to find a wife for Isaac who would share in his hope in God and who would instill that hope in their children. And so you see what Abraham was doing here to ensure the faith of Isaac and Isaac's children is itself an act of faith and trust in the promises of God. Abraham believed these things, and he wanted them for his descendants. And so he encourages them to have faith as well, the same faith. God made us to be generational beings. He didn't create the human race all at once. He created one man and one woman and gave them the mandate to multiply and to fill the earth. And as a result, there would not be just one generation, but many. And God's clear instruction to us is that we are to pass on to future generations the things that he has spoken and the things that he has done, his mighty deeds, his plans, his purposes, the commands that he has spoken, his promises. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says to the crowd that was listening to him that the promises of which he spoke were for them and for their children. But only if those promises are believed. And only if that faith, that belief, shapes the lives of the believers and their children. Only if that's the case will they receive what God has promised. And so we are called to pass it on, to pass on the faith of our spiritual father, Abraham, to the next generation. There's really no greater thing that we can do for our children than to pass on to them the plans, purposes, and promises of God. What could be better for our children than to receive what God has promised? What can we possibly give to our children or grandchildren that can outdo what God can give to them? And so what greater calling do we have than to encourage the next generation to believe this God and to walk in his ways? And so the question before us all today is, are we passing on this faith to the upcoming generation? Are we equipping them to believe in God and to appropriate his promises? Are we telling them about God's mighty works and about his good and wise commandments and his gracious promises? And are we giving them a reason to have this faith? Because there are good reasons to believe in God, good reasons to believe that he will keep the promises that he has made. Abraham has certainly come to see that, and I hope that through this series on the life of Abraham, that you have come to be helped in your faith as well, to see these things. We watched Abraham grow in his faith in God, as God again and again showed himself able and showed himself faithful. We've seen Abraham learn by personal experience to trust in God and to trust in the promises that he makes. Abraham experienced God's help against enemies. He experienced God's ability to prosper him. Abraham grew in wealth and in respect. He saw that nothing was too difficult for God when a husband and wife, well beyond childbearing years, were able to bear a son. Abraham witnessed God's justice in the fearful end of the wicked, in the destruction of Sodom and the cities of the plain. Abraham saw all that, and he learned and he grew to know this God and to trust him. And we have so much more to go on than Abraham did. I've said this before. We see God at work through not only in Abraham's life, but through the entire history of the Old Testament nation of Israel, from the Exodus all the way up to the exile and the return. And then in the New Testament, we have the miracles of Jesus and the apostles, and we have Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This is a God to be believed, a God to be trusted, a God to be feared, a God who blesses and who vindicates those who put their trust in him. He's a God worthy to be talked about, especially to our children and grandchildren. And Abraham passed his lessons of faith on to Isaac. And we know that because these things are recorded here for us in the book of Genesis. And the only way they got there was because Abraham had to have talked about them with others, to Isaac, and then Isaac to Jacob, and passed down from generation to generation until Moses finally wrote them down in the scriptures, so that we can know them, and so that we can then pass them along. You know, we may work hard to give our children the best educations, the best opportunities in sports and music, the latest in technology, the best opportunities for financial success. But do we work just as hard to ensure that they have every opportunity for success in faith in God? What's more important, right? What's more enduring? Getting ahead in this world, a world that's passing away, or having an eternal inheritance, a place in God's eternal kingdom that's never going to pass away? There should be no question about this in our minds. And by the way, what I'm saying here is not just for those of us who have children. It's for all of us who promise every time there's a baptism to assist the parents in the Christian nurture of their child. The next time the call goes out for Sunday school teachers or aides or youth group volunteers, prayerfully consider what God would have you do. In fact, we're currently looking for more people to join in the rotation of our junior church. That's a commercial. Are we making time for training our covenant children in the things of the Lord so that they will have a share in the promises of God and so that they will have something to pass down to the generation after them. I can remember as a child, devotions at the dinner table. Nothing deep, nothing long, just a simple devotional booklet, daily devotional booklet. I can remember my parents helping me memorize Bible verses for Sunday school and children's ministry. I remember my mother working on her Sunday school lessons that she would teach her class each Sunday. Abraham wanted this for his son Isaac and for Isaac's children after him. He wanted them to know God and to enjoy God's blessings. And in Abraham's mind, the woman whom Isaac would marry was critical here. That Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac who was from his own family, from his own relatives, that was not an ethnic thing. It was a spiritual thing. He wanted someone who knew his God and who would care about God's plan and purposes to create a people for himself. Statistics say that most people who come to faith have grown up in Christian homes where the faith was passed on to them. Some say the percentage is as high as 85%. In other words, 85% of Christians come from Christian homes. So parents, consider your potential here. Consider the potential that's in your hands. Now, it's not a guarantee that if parents raise their children in the Lord, that the children are going to go on and walk with the Lord. That's not always the case. But the statistics strongly favor that children brought up in a Christian home will follow the faith of their parents. And then listen to this. That percentage is astronomically higher, off the charts higher, if the father is a faithful believer. Dads and future dads, take note of that. What are you passing on to your sons and daughters? Are you passing on an eternal inheritance to which nothing on this present earth can compare? What are you teaching your children? What kind of an example are you setting? Don't leave it to your wife to do it on her own. Don't leave it to the church to do it by itself. Your voice and your example are critical here. God has given to you an enormous influence. And I want to give a shout out here to grandparents. Grandparents are important too. For my wife, Kathy, it was her grandparents who were the family members that had the most influence on her faith. And for others, I know it was an aunt or an uncle. And only after that influence of the family comes the influence of the wider church community. The home is just so important here. And in keeping with this story, the question of who our children marry is just as important today as it was in Abraham's day. If we care about our children and grandchildren walking in faith and holding on to the promises of God, then we'll want to see them have spouses who will encourage them in this and who will set an example and encourage their children in this. I know the question of who our children will choose as a mate. I know that is a touchy subject in our society. We consider it a very private thing. That's no one else's business. In Abraham's day, marriages were arranged. That's almost unheard of in our society. But in the time of Abraham, it was expected that mom or dad would have something to say about who their children married. My suggestion is that you, with younger children, you begin talking about this topic with your children at a young age so that early on they'll see the importance of having a believing husband or wife. You can even use this this passage that we're reading today as an illustration for them. Now, my second point is going to be much briefer. The first point was to be faithful in passing the faith on to the next generation. This second point reminds us to be very specific about the faith that we're passing on. The faith that we want our children and grandchildren to have is very specifically the faith that focuses on Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. In Galatians 3:8, he says that when God told Abraham that in him all the nations would be blessed, God was telling to Abraham the gospel beforehand. In other words, God's intent was that this promise that he made to Abraham and all the promises that he made to Abraham would be fulfilled in Christ. In fact, in John 8, Jesus himself said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And Jesus is saying that Abraham's faith that God would keep his promises was really faith in Christ, who would be the one through whom these promises would be realized. If we don't bring our children to the one through whom the promises come, then they're not going to have a share in those promises. We have a share in God's promises only through the cross of Christ. It's only because Jesus laid down his life for sinners that any of us has any hope of receiving what God has promised. Without the cross, all the faith in God that we could muster would be insufficient to receive what God promises. Without the cross, we would still be guilty of our failures to love God with a whole heart and our failures to love others as we love ourselves. Jesus died on a cross to pay the price for that guilt. He died so that God could fulfill his promise to Abraham to form a multinational people who would enjoy a restored relationship with God in a new heavens and a new earth, in a land that would never pass away. Our children, the people of the next generation, need to know that. They need to know it so that they'll believe it, so that they'll learn to trust this God as Abraham did, and so that on the day when Jesus returns, they're going to receive all that God has promised to those who believe in him. Just about done here. Let me take a moment to talk to you children and young people. I've been talking a lot about you today, and I want to say something to you. Older people, you're allowed to listen. The first thing is that all that I just spoke about is important for you. It's important for you to know, because someday it's going to become your turn to pass the things of the Lord on that were passed on to you. What you're learning now is not just for you. You're learning these things so that you will have something to give to your children and grandchildren that will follow you. And second, let me encourage you to grow in your own faith, just as Abraham grew in his. Now is the natural time to ask lots of questions. I got lots of questions here this morning, and that's fantastic. Not enough time in the children's sermon to answer them all. But ask those questions, the things you're not sure of, the things that maybe just don't seem to make sense. It's important that you get answers, because the Christian faith in our day is under such tremendous attack. Many movies and television shows and social media, things are being said that are undermining the things that God has spoken so clearly in his word. And it's important that that you have answers for these things and that your faith is well grounded. If you've got questions, ask your parents, ask your Sunday school teachers, your youth leaders, your pastors. If we don't have answers, we can point you to others in our church community that can assist you. Now, the last thing I want to say to you, still speaking to the children here, I want to say that I pray for you. And the elders of the church, this church, pray for you. And so do your teachers. Our prayer is that your faith would deepen and it would mature, just like Abraham's did. Our prayer is that you'll be able to stand firm in your faith in a day that when it's not very popular to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's our prayer for you. So back to everyone. The promises of God are intergenerational promises. They are for everyone here, from the oldest to the youngest, for all who put their faith in Jesus Christ, whether you have a seasoned faith, like Abraham did by the end of his life, or whether your faith is small and shaky. God guarantees his promises to you. They are yours because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Believe this. Seek to deepen your faith. Pass it on. And if you're here today and you have no faith but would like to know more, please let me or someone else here know that. We are here to help. May God give us the strength to walk in the faith of Abraham. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the things that have been passed down to us, for faithful servants of yours that have passed these on from generation to generation, who have recorded them for us in the scriptures so that we can know who you are, to know what you have done, to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to know the promises that belong to all who trust you. Lord, we do pray for faith. We pray that you would deepen our faith. And we pray in a special way for the younger generation, generations that are among us, that you will encourage them, that you will provide answers to their questions, that you will help them to stand strong in a day when there are so many obstacles to doing that. Father, we thank you for our Savior, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.